Hey everybody, Simon Rentner here. Just want to let everyone know that we have another amazing Checkout Live Presents concert coming your way, happening next week in New York City. We are presenting and proud to present the world premiere of Venus, a new song cycle featuring the pianist, composer, and now singer, the brilliant Samora Pinderhughes, with J. Period on the decks. The Juilliard-trained artist and composer of the Transformation Suite, which, you know, you may have seen on Jazz Night in America with Christian McBride. Well, he's now stepping out as a singer-songwriter, as you can hear right now on this tune he recorded in our studio, Inertia. To you. Don't you see what you put me through? Completely mesmerizing music. Anyway, join us, Samora Pinderhughes presenting Venus and the DJ J Period, all coming your way at Le Poisson Rouge next Thursday, July 19th at 8 p.m. The Checkout from WBGO presents and will capture this event. Tickets and information at lpr.com. And now for our studio session with the electronic artist known as Fote. And if you like what you hear, he's coming to The Echo in L.A. on Wednesday, July 25th, and then back to New York City, Queens, to PS1 on August 4th, a part of the museum's awesome warm-up series. Our program with Fote. We're making a little history here at WBGO today, only because, as we know, we play jazz music. We have acoustic bands in here, the virtuosos of virtuosos, always in studio. But today, we have a man by the name of Evan Shornstein. He goes by the name Fote, and he just plays electronics, as we like to say on the Checkout. We're presenting the other side of jazz. Onism is the name of Fote's latest release. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. We'll be right back.
Evan Shorenstein, his name is Fote, joins us on the checkout. He's playing the computer, MIDI controller, SPD drum pad, Korg, Minilog, synth, and along with him, our jazz-trained band from Purchase College, representing from Jersey, Jaden Alvira on saxophone and Nathan Ranson on trombone, Stu Pender on guitar. Should I call you Fote or Evan?
Either one's fine. Whatever feels good.
What does Fote mean? And there must be a brilliant story that goes along with it.
Yes. Fote was born on a trip to Africa, to Guinea, West Africa, about 7 years ago now. I was studying music there, and they speak mostly French and Susu. And all the children were calling me Fote everywhere I went. Like, I would have my arm maybe hanging out a car window, and I would just hear, Fote, 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 Fote. It's just the children. And I finally asked my friend, and he said, oh, they're just calling you white. Like, you're the only white dude for, like, miles. So he was like, yeah, you should just call him Fore next time. Say, just point and, like, smile, you know, say Fore. I was like, I don't know about that. He's like, just trust me. He's like, it means black, but they'll love it. Like, trust me. I was like, okay, so next time I just pointed and said Fore, and they just, like, burst out laughing and cracking up. And I just liked it. It was this really innocent exchange. It stuck as a name as well. I was just called, kind of has a humor to it, in my opinion.
So that tune right there, obviously, you hear all kinds of African rhythm. Is that something that tune came rhythmically from Guinea? I mean, it's also interesting just the way you play it, because I'm also hearing, like, Afro-future Cuban West African music.
For sure, yeah. I mean, it features a djembe and a balafone, like the main instrument you hear in the chorus.
The out-of-tune xylophone, the wooden xylophone with all the overtones, the brilliant,
yeah,
brilliant balafone.
Exactly. And I
out-of-tune in a good way. I didn't mean that pejoratively.
And it goes out of tune pretty easily. Mine's still pretty intact, but the tuning process is not going to be fun eventually. I was pretty happy when I started that tune, because I'm always trying to find a balance of not being just like, okay, here's electronic music inspired from West African rhythms. I didn't want it to be like so black and white everything. And no pun intended. No, but in the sense that there's a lot of people doing collaboration like that now and like remixing. And so in that tune, it was like, okay, I use these instruments that are traditional West Africa, but kind of writing like a tune. I mean, the tonality is not, you know, it's kind of just based off of other stuff that I'm influenced by too. So it's sort of just an amalgamation of things, influences.
Let's hear more amalgamations of things. What's the next tune we're about to hear?
It's called Balsam Massacre. It's kind of like a mention to like a lot of like deforestation, and without being like too political or anything in my album, I just wanted to have a couple names that were like, okay, Balsam Massacre, maybe this tune sounds like a tree being murdered. Like the sounds kind of hint, and it's sort of like, okay, here's the experience maybe from like a tree's perspective. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fote joins us in studio on the Checkout from WBGO. I'm Simon Rettner. Thank you for joining us. If you're loving this music as I am right now, you can go to our website, wbgo.org, check out jazz.org, and watch the videos we're shooting right now of seeing how this music is constructed and mixed together. Where electronic music gets into trouble sometimes, especially if there are things happening in real time, whether you're arranging stuff or playing keyboards, it's hard to know what's being done live and what isn't.
Mm.
And translating that experience to a live audience, especially a jazz-loving public, I think is critical.
Yeah, and it's something I've struggled with since, like, my first show, coming from, like, a background drumming and playing a bunch of bands. I, like, wanted there to be a visible live element, but I didn't have one for years, mostly because a lot of electronic artists are finding, like, different ways to do it. And sometimes I think, okay, you know, on the computer, you're doing a ton, perhaps, but it's not visible. And it might not even be fun for the artist. You can't even really, like, feel, like, the essence of the room and look up. And I'm always trying to find a balance. I still haven't found the best one, but I'm closer than I used to be and just having control, being, like, in the music. But playing out every element in electronic music, I don't know. Some people could do it. There's a lot of layers in my tunes, so, like, if I were to try to do that, it would be messy, and I don't know how. So, yeah, there's sacrifices. I mean, I'm a drummer, so I'm playing out a lot of the drum parts, some of, like, the bigger bass elements. And then on my controller, it's sort of like dubs, almost like a studio element, kind of like Lee Scratch Perry or some of, like, the early dub guys, sort of, like, throwing faders up and using echo and reimagining your tunes like a dub.
Talk to me about synth integrity, because I feel like you have a lot.
Synth integrity, that's a nice name. Like a analog purist kind of mind state?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, electronic music, you know, has issues also in terms of sounding cheap or sounding dated. But somehow, when I listen to your music, Fote, there's like some kind of acoustic presence. There's a real focus on the integrity of each electronic sound you make.
Definitely. Yeah, I think, like, just it's always like my instinct to kind of, like, specifically when using, like, a synthesizer on a tune, like, rounding out the sound so it's a little maybe more, like, dull, maybe sounds more vintage, but not being strictly nostalgic of the past, like, not just living within that world, combining it with, like, really shiny new sounds.
Can you give us an example of what you're talking about?
Oh, well, the opening tune on my LP, Screens, like, there's a sound that opens up the record. It's very, like, intense. It's like a synthetic, like, Godzilla-esque sound, you could call it. I guess, like, a roar. And that was just made with, like, just like a sound of, like, a drumstick being clicked and then processed, kind of granulating the sample and spreading it out over time. In the end, I don't know about that one specifically, but they sound analog or they sound organic. And sometimes the source was that simple. It wasn't even like an expensive synthesizer from the 70s. But then again, yeah, I have like a Prophet 6, for instance, and I use that as well. But I try not to just be obsessive and be like, okay, this album, the gear list is huge and it's crazy. It's like, you know, a lot of the sources were really simple. Even like working with Jaden, he played sax all over my record, and that even adds a quality to it, like, even, you know, for someone who's, like, outside of the world of electronic and synths and stuff, it's like the minute there's, like, an acoustic instrument layered there, you have such, like, association with that, you know, it broadens the horizons.
Well, let's listen to Screen, what you're talking, let's listen to Godzilla.
Yeah, let's do it. Thank you.
We got Fote in the studio on the checkout. We're happy to have him here. And was that the cumbia right there? Little cumbia action?
Yeah, actually. I realized that recently. Yeah, I'm a big fan of cumbia, but not when I was making it. I wasn't really thinking that.
Subconscious cumbia.
There you go.
The name of your album, Onism. What's your definition of that word?
Sort of just wanderlust in a way. But Onism is like coming to terms with like a certain piece of where you are and kind of just accepting the fact that there are a million places maybe you'd rather be or you'd like to see, but time will just not allow within your lifespan. So it's kind of just like being at ease with where you are.
Well, here's another definition. The frustration of being stuck in just one body that inhabits only one place at a time, which is like standing in front of the departures screen at an airport, flickering strange place names like other people's passwords, each representing one more thing you'll never get to see before you die.
There you go. A little bit darker, but it's, you know, yeah, that's kind of the idea behind the album and sort of the way I was feeling when I was working on a lot of it.
So how old are you?
25.
So you are a full-fledged millennial. I feel like this whole concept is very millennial because the world is seemingly at our very fingertips, and we see the possibilities of where we could be. For instance, we could be in Guinea studying the rhythms of Africa. Do you feel like this is like a millennial kind of concept, Onism?
Yeah, it's sort of, I feel like I'm constantly battling in the amount of information that you can intake. Like, let's take music, for example. Like, just get on these obsessive rants of like finding music, collecting it, and like even beyond vinyl and like physical mediums, you can just own all this music, but like, do you actually know the music? And I think that goes into other arenas as well of just like kind of wanting to do all these things rather than like cherishing just a couple. And I don't know, at least that's what I battle with a lot.
I mean, you could sort of make a case of what you're doing is like an ADD way of playing music, whereas somebody devotes their life to the tenor saxophone, like our main man, Jaden Alvira, right here in studio, you know, could just only focus on John Coltrane. Mm. There's two different concepts of studying music entirely.
Totally. And I mean, in a way, like I grew up on like Aphex Twin, like a lot of like 90s, 80s electronic music. And I guess you could say the one thing, I've been focusing on electronic music my whole life, but jumping around a lot. Even when I went to music school, it's like, oh, like a lot of discipline to focus on one thing. And I am pretty ADD as a person too. So that's just like calling the album Onism kind of was like a self-meditation in a way too.
All right. So what's the next tune we're about to hear?
Illusion of Seclusion.
Oh, it has the Brazilian thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Did you spend some time in Brazil?
That's a huge goal. I love Brazilian music. It's probably my favorite music on the planet, but I have not been there.
Well, Fauté, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your music. And thank you for bringing your band in.
Yeah, thank you guys for joining me. Thank you.
Thank Fote for joining us in our WBGO performance studio with the tenor saxophonist Jaden Alvira, trombonist Nathaniel Ranson, and guitarist Stu Pender. Onism is the name of Fote's latest recording, and definitely make sure to check them out if you're in LA on Wednesday, July 25th, coming to the Echo, and then back to Queens, New York to PS1 warm-up party on August 4th. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Follow us on social media. Our webpage, checkoutjazz.org. On Facebook, the Checkout from WBGO. Our handle on Twitter, @checkoutjazz. Follow me, Simon Rentner, on Twitter and Instagram. A special shout out to our production intern, Tony Snow, Anthony Nieves. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. Thanks for checking us out.